Thank you. daily kingdom of Simran,
kingdom,
Iskon Damar Jaya Shri Prabhupada,
kingdom,
go all glory to the Son of God, all glory to the Son of God, all glory to the Son of God, glory to the Guru and Brahma. Good evening and welcome. Tonight we're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is Adiyata 7. Chapter is entitled Lord Chaitanya and Five Teachers. And we'll read text number 83. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
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 Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Translation, it is the nature of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that anyone who chants it immediately develops his loving ecstasy for Krishna. Purport. In this verse it is explained that one who chants the Hare Krishna Mantra develops a bhava, ecstasy, which is the point at which revelation begins. It is a preliminary stage in developing one's original love for God. Lord Krishna mentions this bhava stage in the Bhagavad Gita 10.8. Aham sarvasya bhavavo matta sarvam avartate iti matve bhashante mam bhuta bhava samangita. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. A neophyte disciple begins by hearing and chanting, associating with devotees, and practicing the requisite principles, unless he vanquishes all of his unwanted bad habits. In this way he develops attachment for Krishna and cannot forget Krishna, even for a moment. Bhava is the almost successful stage of spiritual life. A sincere student orally receives the holy name from the spiritual master, and after being initiated, he follows the records and principles given by the spiritual master. When the holy name is properly served this way, automatically the spiritual nature of the holy name spreads. In other words, the devotee becomes qualified in defenselessly chanting the holy name. When one is completely fit to chant the holy name this way, he is eligible to make disciples all over the world. And he actually becomes Jagannath Guru. Then the entire world, under his influence, begins to chant the holy names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Thus, all the disciples of such a spiritual master increase in attachment to Krishna. And therefore, he sometimes cries, sometimes laughs, sometimes dances, and sometimes chants. The symptoms are very commonly manifest in the body of the pure devotee. Sometimes when our students of the Krishna conscious movement chant and dance, even in India, people are astonished to see how these foreigners have learned to chant and dance in this ecstatic fashion. As explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, actually this is not due to practice, but without extra endeavor, these symptoms become manifest in anyone who sincerely chants the Hare Krishna. conclusion. Many fools, not knowing the transcendental nature of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, sometimes repeat on loudly chanting this mantra. Yet one who is actually advanced in the fulfillment of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra induces others to chant also. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, Krishna Shakti Vinanahi Tara Pravatana. Unless one receives special power of attorney from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he cannot preach the glories of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. As devotees propagate the Hare Krishna Mantra, the general population of the entire world gets the opportunity to understand the glories of the Holy Name. Without, while chanting and dancing or hearing the Holy Name of the Lord, one automatically remembers the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because there is no difference between the Holy Name and Krishna, the chanter is immediately linked with Krishna. Thus connected, the devotee develops his original attitude of service to the Lord. In this attitude of constantly serving Krishna, which is called bhava, he always thinks of Krishna in many different ways. One who has attained this bhava stage is no longer under the clutches of illusory energy. When other spiritual ingredients such as trembling, perspiration, and tears are added to this bhava stage, the devotee gradually attains love of Krishna. The holy name of Krishna is called the Maha Mantra. Other mantras mentioned in the Narada Pancharantra are known simply as mantras, but the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is called the Maha Mantra. Om Agyan Smirandasya Girangira Shalakaya Chipsunmiritam Jinatas Maya Sigurveya Maha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Shvapatam Dena Bhutale Shvayam Rupa Kadamaya Vedanta Shvara Vedanta Kham Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Yadakara Shri Vasari Vohar Bhakti Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram Yesterday, we all observed the appearance day of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, in his incarnation as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As Krishna appears in the Kali Yuga, and we discussed his personality and some of his pastimes. And this evening, continuing in the same mood, we would like to discuss the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is very evident from the verse this evening. And we know well that he appeared to introduce the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mantra, Maha Mantra, as the Yuga Dharma, or the religion for the age. As we've discussed many times, the Lord appears in every age to introduce the appropriate process of self-realization, religion. Four times, as there's four ages, Satya, Treta, Tapura, and Kali. Several months ago, I was doing a program and discussing a similar subject matter. And one of the guests asked, well, why not just one process for all the ages? Why not just one religion for each age? Why four different? Devotees would never ask a question like that with a newcomer. You could say an obvious question. Why does there have to be four different processes? Why not just make it simple? One process for every age. I thought about it for a moment, and I thought, well, because people are different. Even now in this world, we have many different religions because people are so different. There are different levels of spiritual advancement. So therefore, then adjustment has to be made. Actually, if you make a comparative study of the various religions in the world today, you will conclude, this is not a very common presentation, Krishna consciousness is the most developed, the most advanced, and the most evolved. Because the whole culture that we practice in our Krishna conscious movement, from A to Z, from morning to evening, from our birth to our death, it's all encompassing. In fact, every activity that we perform has some spiritual purpose behind it. Even philosophically, our concept, understanding, our realization of God is, we'd say, complete. There's no other religion which has such a detailed explanation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, His name, fame, form, paraphernalia, and pastimes. You ask anyone in this world, what is God? And generally they'll just reply, He's God. The goal of religion is love of God, that we all agree on. And to love someone, you have to know every detail about them. That is why a woman chooses a particular man as her husband, or a husband chooses a particular woman as his wife. Because the detail. In the same way, to love God, you have to know all the details, as we do in our Krishna conscious movement. Beautiful threefold bending form, bluish black like the monsoon cloud. His beautiful black hair cascades down his shoulders. He has lotus eyes that extend almost to his ears. His lips are red like bimba fruits. His teeth are set just like pearls. On and on and on. His cloth, his dress, his Vaijayanti garland. This is the impetus of love. You can't love someone unless you know who they are. But there's different types of people in the world with greater or lesser degrees of spiritual interest. So therefore, so many different religious movements. So similarly, different processes of spiritual life for every age, because people are different and adjustments have to be made. Bhaktivinoda Thakur once said that progress means making the necessary adjustments on the way to the goal. So as people change through the ages, the process is also adjusted by the Lord. Dhamantu Sakya Bhagavat Pranitam. He looks at the situation, he makes the adjustment. Or you could compare it to disease. There's different medicines for different diseases. You don't just walk into the drugstore. In Northern Europe they call it aptique. I think in England they call it chemist, so I get confused sometimes. When I'm there I say, can I go to the drugstore? You don't take drugs in my life. But here you call it drugstore. Drugs of my own country, I remember. So you go in and there's a varieties of drugs, medicines, maybe as long as drugs I see in California. There's a variety because the diseases are so different. The material life itself is compared to a disease. Everyone's diseased. Well, I'm not diseased. Material life's a disease, but I'm not diseased, I'm healthy right now. Yes, sir. What is the symptom of disease? What is a common symptom? A suffering. Are you not suffering? No. Birth is suffering. Catching a cold is suffering. The flu, typhoid. Old age is suffering, let me tell you. As I mentioned, my weak knees. It's confirmed by several of my godbrothers on this trip. Maharaj, you mentioned your weak knees, but how is this thing wrong? I can't hear so well. So, material life is compared to a disease condition. Although a person may not have a disease at any particular moment. Still, it's sicker because everyone is suffering. Everyone is suffering. Their material life is a disease condition. So, as the ages evolve, the disease becomes more prominent, more profound. And in Kali Yuga, the disease is this heightened condition. Disease is also characterized by fever. So Prabhupada would sometimes compare material life to a feverish condition. People are feverishly trying to enjoy material life. Tatashtanu dinam dharma satyam sojam samadhaya kalena malinarajan nan satyayur malim shiti. This is a scary verse. Sometimes when I'm traveling and the children come, they want to hear stories. So I say, do you want to hear a happy story or do you want to hear a scary story?
Happy!
Beautiful Vaishnava. Sometimes the children, they want to hear the scary stories. I say, no, but they're really scary. We want to hear them. It's a really scary story. Well, this verse is a scary verse. Tatashtanu jnam dharma satyam sacham shamadhaya kalena malina ajan nam satya urbanam shiti. Scary. You have to wake us up. Because of the powerful influence of the age of Kali, religion, truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, austerity, duration of life, physical strength, and memory will diminish day by day. It's a scary story. Of course, it doesn't affect us because we're immunized by the chanting process which protects us. Kaler dosha nije rasha astyetam avana kirtanadi krishna singh sangha. You get the immunization. If you're immunized, you can go into an area which is full of disease and not be affected. This is the occupational hazard of being a traveling preacher. They talk about occupational hazard. When you work in the factory, occupational hazard when you're paying the machine or injury. So occupational hazard if a traveling preacher is you have to get all the inoculations. Vaccinations. When you go, it hurts a little bit. I've had yellow fever. I constantly get my tetanus shot updated. I used to get injections for hepatitis. I forget what they called that injection. I stopped taking it. That year I went to India and I got hepatitis. So you get the inoculation. You don't have to be afraid, you can go into the area. So we get the inoculation. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
But with knowledge, with wisdom, we see these verses come to life, actually. This is, the Shastra comes to life when one studies. And one sees the world through the eyes of the scripture. This is how we see the world. It said that a saintly person, he doesn't see with his eyes, he sees with his ears. And this is a wonderful experience. Therefore, Prabhupada said, my only complaint is my disciples don't read my books. It's a wonderful experience to dive deep into the philosophy. Into the eyes of Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu, see how the world is really working. This is how we're meant to see. We're meant to use our intelligence. It's a special gift of God. Our intelligence, buddhi, to become buddha, enlightened ones. So we see the world through the shastra. And we see if you use great faith when you read a verse like this, to look at the world. Dasganu jinam dharma satyam sojam samadaya. The memorize these verses. Prabhupada said, you memorize a verse like this, and you speak it seven times in your discourses, it's yours. That's very valuable. People are shopping for valuable commodities in the stores, thinking that these things will give them great pleasure. Nothing more pleasurable than memorizing a verse like this and having it as yours, armed with knowledge and invite. This is a real well, this is real opulence. And you can see the world. It's true. Religion, truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, austerity, duration of life, physical strength, and memory diminish day by day. That means every 24 hours, these things have diminished in the world. The cumulative effect is a very horrible situation. It's a very disease condition, like you could say. What is the different stages of cancer? I think there's a fourth stage, right? Fourth stage, doctors say nothing they can do. So we're like in third stage now. It's only 500 years into this, 5,000 years into Kali Yuga, and it was the third stage cancer. So a very strong medicine, an antidote, is required. And that antidote is a mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mantra can also act as antidote. When I first went to India, it was in 74, or I don't remember. I don't think it was as early as 73. 74. And we were walking, we went to Eka Chakra, to Lord Nityananda's appearance place, and we got a little lost. And then there was one farmer, and he was working. He was working in the fields, and he was bit by a cobra. And we happened to come by, and it was terrible. He was shaking, and he was foaming his mouth. And then they called. Muslim man, I believe he was a Muslim, who chanted mantras. There was some person chanting mantras. They called him, and he came, and he chanted mantras over this man, and gradually he became better. I was shocked. I was thinking, why don't they just take him to the doctor and get an injection? But they chanted mantra, like, strongly mantra. And as he was doing that, he was giving him neem leaves. He was having the man chew on neem leaves, and he was half conscious. They were translating for us, and they were saying, so he said, so how does it taste? And the man who'd been bit by the cobra, he was saying, it's tasting sweet. I didn't get it. But then we were there like an hour, just fixed on this whole thing. It was like, oh my gosh. And then every 10 minutes you give him the neem leaves to chew, how does this, it's bitter, but less bitter, yes. But excuse me, sweet, and that was less sweet. And finally, he vomited this black liquid, which I assume was the poison. And then he gave him the neem leaves. He said, how does it taste? He said, now it tastes bitter. It's because the poison that was in him was such a poisonous thing that bitter neem leaves tasted sweet. And then when he vomited the poison, then the neem leaves tasted as they are bitter. So the fakir, as he said, he's cured now. So I was amazed that that he was cured by a mantra. And even today in Bengal is still a tradition if they have someone qualified like that. So gave me faith that the disease condition can be cured by mantra. And the total disease condition altogether, a disease condition of material life, all suffering can be overcome by this very powerful antidote. So therefore, what was achieved in previous ages, or a long duration of time, can be achieved in a very short time in this age. Krite yad ayato vishnu, trite yam vishuto mokai, dvapare paricharya yam, kalota tari kirtana. Whatever result was attained in the Satya Yuga by meditating on Vishnu, in Treta Yuga, by the performance of sacrifices, and in Dvapara Yuga, by serving the Lord's lotus feet, can be achieved in Kali Yuga just by chanting Hare Krishna. As you know, the duration of the time was 100,000 years, and I think the next one was 50,000, 20,000. So what that can be achieved in this age in 100 years. What fool would not take up this process? When you're in a painful condition, the main thing in your mind is to get healthy. Death, disease, and fire. You don't procrastinate. You take care of it immediately. If there's fire, no matter what's happening, it can be the presidential inauguration next year on the steps of the White House. If the White House catches fire, everybody runs. They try to put it out. Death, the body, if someone dies in the evening, our tradition is that he's cremated by sunset, sunrise. Someone dies during the day, it's cremated by the... take care of it immediately. This whole thing of keeping the body in the cooler and the freezer and, you know, the autopsy and the investigation. Done with. Life is finished. The soul is gone on. So, fire, death. And disease must, if you don't take care of it, it's worse. Like, I've got a little problem here. One of my, what do you call these teeth in the back? Molars? Yeah, I started noticing a little pain there about 2 weeks ago. I couldn't chew on that side. Now there's like a little pimple on the gums, which I investigated on the internet. The doctors say, if there's something wrong, don't go look on the internet. Come to see us. Don't speculate, you know. But I looked, and that's the pus that is forming underneath and is coming out of the gum. Now it really hurts. I got a bigger problem now. I know. I mean, I'm not really afraid to go to the dentist, but I know it's going to be some, not even root canal, because those teeth have been removed. And I have false teeth there. So under the false teeth, there's some trouble brewing. And I'm scared. Is there a dentist in the house? Oh boy. So the longer you put it off, the bigger the problem becomes. So we've got a problem here. We have a problem. We're in this materialistic way of life, in this material world, and things aren't getting better. They're getting worse. Even as superficially it appears, the economy's going to improve, or, you know, we've got iPods now. And we've got, you know, Macintosh, which is better than PC. You know, we've got like everything, but it's all superficial. I've got the false tooth. It looks okay, but underneath the problem's brewing. People are procrastinating. They're putting aside the real business of life. When Vishwamitra Muni came to visit Maharaj Dashrath in the palace, Maharaj Dashrath, of course, is the father of Lord Ramachandra. So Vishwamitra Muni came to visit him as sadhus do. Think of the homes and householders of kings, and on the plea of begging some milk, they actually come for the purpose of enlightening the poor householders or kings or whatever. So Maharaj Dasharatha, when he saw Vishwamitra Muni coming, sir, is as appropriate. Although he was king, when the sadhu came, he realized his superior position. He said, sir, sadhu, how is your endeavor to conquer over the repetition of birth and death going? He didn't say, how are you keeping around, as we say in South Africa. How are you feeling? How's it going? High five. How's it going? Everything's fine. Right. How is your business to conquer over the repetition of birth and death? This is the real business at hand. We can't, because if we, the longer we procrastinate in this life or several lifetimes, the problem only gets worse. Because if we're not engaged in spiritual activity, we're bound to be engaged in material activity. No one is inactive. Everyone is active. Everyone has desires. So unless those desires are dovetailed, as they should be, in the service of God or Krishna, we're bound to be engaged in either pious or impious activity in this world. And all brings a result. It's all accumulating. It's like the infection is accumulating on my chin. And there's going to come a point where I'm just going to have to take care of it. Maybe in Houston, or maybe in Phoenix, or maybe in San Jose. But you get the point. The real bit, we're all suffering. I don't have a disease. Yes, but you're suffering birth, disease, old age, and death. And various. Well, you are suffering. We're in a suffering condition. Suffering needs to be. Take care of the problem now. Alleviate it. In this lifetime, this is the real business. And the medicine's at hand. And it's not so painful as getting an injection. I'm going to have to get it. It's a sweet medicine. Like when your children are there. The doctor, he takes the pill and he puts some sugar coating on it, then he gives it to the child. It's not so bad. God is very kind. We don't have to take the bitter pill. It's sweet. Madhur, 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 madhe. The sweet chanting. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. It's very sweet and potent because the disease is so developed now, we've been procrastinating for only God knows. The disease is very severe, so therefore the medicine is very potent. Oh my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benedictions upon the living entities. Thus, you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna, Govinda, etc. And no, you have invested all your transcendental energies in the sound of your holy names. You have made approach to you very easy. Unfortunate as I have very little attraction. That's such an important verse. Philosophically, you invested all your transcendental potencies in the sound of your holy name. Condensed. So the sincere practitioner will experience that. And therefore, because it is the authorized medicine, it's working all over the world to such a degree that Kaviraj Goswami goes so far to say that this holy name is delivering so many people then, now, and in the future, it's living so many people that he actually says, this is the incarnation for the age. Kali Kali Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar Nama Vete Vai Sharva Jagat Nishtha. That's another verse that we would like to have on our hearts. In the age of Kali, the holy name of the Lord is the incarnation of the Lord. And he says, Namo Vete Maya Sharva Jagat Nishtha. Jagat means what? Jagat means, Prabhupada mentioned in the verse, he said, Jagat Guru, the spiritual world of the whole universe, the whole world. So Jagat Nishtha means the universe. By this holy name, the whole universe is delivered. Is this some exaggeration? It already happened once, we mentioned yesterday. During the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, he drowned the entire universe in the nectarian chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. What happened? The whole universe was liberated. To think that the glories of the holy name is an exaggeration is in self-offense. a sincere chanter, one who has Shraddha, one who has faith, to wait to see this happen. Chiseling away at Kali Yuga by daily propagating the chanting of the holy names, realizing that one day this will actually come true. And not satisfied until it does, because that's the mission of his guru, and that's the mission of the incarnation of the sage Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, he will only be happy when he sees the 14 worlds change. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And if you think, oh, now I, you know, my career is going well, and I'm my family, and things are going well, and I'm going to the comfortable, and I'm happy. But we're following the mood of our acharyas, and they're not happy until they see everyone chanting Hare Krishna, so we should follow them. So this, taking it like that, this is incarnation. Like we have Shaktalash avatar. Sometimes devotees are called incarnations. Because they're, by the grace of the Lord, they're so powerful. Like Vyasadeva, he was Jivatma, but he was Shaktalash avatar. He's empowered to do that amazing feat of writing all the Vedic literatures. So this is also incarnation. Although technically Lord Chaitanya is the incarnation for the age. Krishna Varna Pusha Krishna Shambhu Pangusha Varshanam Yadnai Shankitam Vayar Shantihi Shu Mejaha. Those who have some intelligence left, you'll see that, they'll understand that. But he's introducing the process of chanting, and the chanting is doing the delivering. So Kaliraj Goswami said, this is the incarnation of the age. Kali Kali Namarup Krishna Avatar. This Nam is the Krishna Avatar. It's doing the delivering. Everywhere it's going, delivering us from ignorance, delivering us from the lotus feet of Krishna. So, if it's an incarnation, then we should expect to see the holy name, do the things that incarnations do. And what do incarnations do? It's no mystery. Paritvanai sananam vinashaya tibuskritam, they three devotees and they kill demons, and they establish religious principles. So, the delivering devotees, holy names are delivering devotees. Actually, the holy names are so powerful, they're making devotees. Most of us sitting here, we're not like Ratnanadi here. He's born Vaishnavi and her two illustrious sisters. Chintamani and Sitarani, they were born devotees. They're like following in Prabhupada's footsteps. He was born and he said, I don't know what is sin. I told him, Dave, have you ever had a bad thought in your mind? That's a pure young lady. She blushed, embarrassed. Most of us, you know, we are in the right place at the right time. We may have been doing the wrong thing, but we're in the right place at the right time. As a Sankirtan. Sankirtan probably came out and was swept up in the ecstasy. But the holy name made us devotees. I remember recently my god sister Sital, she was reminiscing when we were in Jagannath Puri about her early days of Krishna consciousness. And then she embarrassed me. I actually shouldn't speak about herself, but anyway, this is. She was telling, I was sitting listening, she was saying that she was recounting how she made me a devotee. How I was coming to the temple and she would play a trick because the devotees, there were devotee plates and there were non-devotee plates. And believe it or not, the devotee plates were huge and the non-devotee plates were small. Because they just figured, well, they, what they said was that they may waste the prasadam because they may not eat it all. What we think was happening was we had pretty austere during the week, so the Sunday feast, so it was a big plate like that. So as soon as I started coming, then she started giving me the devotee plate. And it worked. And it's still working. My only hope. especially his neighbor Anne, his wonderful house there, his wife. I wrote in dedications of the diary book I gave her, I said, to my favorite cook in the whole wide world. She, I'm telling you, I travel all over the world. I've never had a shawarma like that. I said, I feel like I could live forever if I keep eating this shawarma. I said, I'll even go back to Godhead. So she was saying that next day after I joined, I went on, shaved me up and put on the white cloth and went on Harinam. So then she was reminiscing, she was saying. So then Maharaj, on the way back from Harinam, back to the temple, I asked him, I said, how did you like the Harinam? And he replied, it was so nice, it was so much fun. I could do this for the rest of my life. So I'm doing it, but I'm doing it imperfectly. But my point is that it's the holy name that swept, because all of the Lord's transcendental potencies are there. His opulence, his name, fame, form, paraphernalia, everything is done. So obviously, the holy name is fulfilling that activity of the incarnation. And we discussed how the holy name kills the demons. We won't go into detail on that now. We explored that. When we speak, it's like exploring all these things. It's so wonderful to have our philosophy and see these truths from all angles of vision. It's like swimming in the ocean, diving and surfacing. This is the philosophy is like that. And our movement is the only movement that has real philosophy. Real philosophy in the material world. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. All their philosophies are connected to that motto. And spiritual philosophies pale in comparison to the deep philosophy which Gauranga Mahaprabhu has given, elaborated on by the six Goswamis, and presented according to time, place, and circumstance by Srila Prabhupada. That's why we enjoy these discussions morning and evening. You ask anyone else to speak on any spiritual subject matter, they can't say anything, or they just go on, and so much nonsense is coming. But we have such depth of philosophy. So we discussed how this chanting destroys the demoniac mentality. We're going to keep chanting, because there's so much mundane talk going on. Bhagavatam says that the materialistic person has so many subject matters for hearing about. The subject matter of Krishna consciousness rarely comes up. So this chanting will cure that material consciousness. But how does the chanting of Hare Krishna establish religious principles? Paritanaya sadhana, vinashaya. Dharma samstapanate sambhavami yogi. How does chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, throughout the world, how does that reestablish religious principles? What are religious principles? It's a vast subject. What is religion? But one time Prabhupada said, religion is based on the foundation of cleanliness, truthfulness, mercy, and austerity. It's like this building, there's a foundation. So what is the foundation of any bona fide spiritual tradition? Cleanliness, truthfulness, mercy, and austerity. You could talk about religion for hours and hours and hours and hours. But let us take it from this statement of Prabhupada. Religion is based on a foundation of cleanliness, truthfulness, mercy, and austerity. So before the members of our movement came to Krishna consciousness, they were not clean. Cleanliness means outwardly and inwardly. Of course, we did have some gentlemen come, some intelligent people like His Holiness Giyas Swami. His father was encouraging him to get an education in law, so he was nicely dressed and intelligent and presenting nice questions. But others, like myself, myself. He was East Coast, I was West Coast. San Francisco boy in the 1960s in high school. You just put two and two together. Babylon Ballroom, Jimi Hendrix, Moby Dick, Grateful Dead, Janis Joplin. Got that part of the tape? So cleverness means two things. Cleverness means externally and cleverness means internally. And you have to bathe. I once met a boy. He and I bathed in just under 2 years. And even I said, like, hey man, let me bathe. I have to keep life's experiences with me. That's your philosophy? You're not going to make any converts to that philosophy. It could be this whole person in movement. So bathing means, it means bathing once or twice or thrice a day. I think Grihastras bathed one brahmacharis twice and sannyasis thrice because they're moving around a lot, I guess, to be very clean. But cleanliness also means cleanliness of the heart. It's just as the body, even after bathing, becomes impure due to contact with internal nature, then the subtle body also becomes impure by contact with the most nature. What is the subtle body? Mind, intelligence, and false ego. You have to bathe the subtle body as well. If you don't bathe this body, then you'll get scabies and sores and all kinds of things. You'll get sick. You don't. Therefore, when someone said to Prabhupada, Swamiji, did you know that cleanliness is next to godliness? Prabhupada said, no. Cleanliness is godliness. And said, therefore, it's in a place for everything, everything in its place. I walked into a disciple's house the other day, Shama and Madhava Brahma, my disciples in Seattle. So he's in charge of my tape ministry. I will, Shama. Shama. So I walked in their house, and it was just the perfect emblem of cleanliness. It was spick and span clean, like squeaky clean. And I looked, this is how, if you want to like bring terror to the householders, and walk in the house to open the covers up. Sometimes you open, everything falls out. Shyamala and Maya, their house is infected with such soul mass. In such an environment, you can think of Krishna very nicely. This is why we have to elevate ourselves to the mode of goodness, because mode of goodness is enlightening, illuminating, Prabhupada said. You can see things as they are. So we have to be Brahmanas so that we can think of Krishna. So, but you have to constantly, not that they pick up the house and clean it just before the guru comes. No, I heard that every day you go to Madhava Gauranga's house, Shyamala's house, you'll see very always bucket cleans. So, but you have to clean, otherwise disease will come, rats will come in the house, cockroaches. So every day you have to clean the heart. How do you clean the heart? Cheto, dharkana marjana, with mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And how do you feel after a bath? You feel refreshed, isn't it? Like, lots of times I'll take a bath, I may not be dirty because I haven't gone, and so I need to be refreshed. I'm coming to the class, so I take a bath and I put on fresh tilak and fresh cloth, and I come refreshed. So you also feel spiritually refreshed when you chant. And this can be experienced by the practitioner. Those who are not chanting, they cannot understand that. You can understand it just by philosophy. These things are practical experiences. You can't experience. It's like a man who's just eating a dinner. You can't tell how he's satisfied. Only he knows. Like today, I ate four big waffles for breakfast. And this afternoon, I had a huge plate of spaghetti, meatballs, carrot cake. I am full. I may not look full.
I know I'm full.
So I had to refresh myself before coming to the temple.
Like that. So in the same way, when you chant, you will have this experience of a spiritual, like a refreshener, or even you could go further, rejuvenation. You feel rejuvenated. And therefore, you become attached to that condition. Just like one who was once in the mode of ignorance comes from the mode of passion and comes from the mode of goodness. He experiences the benefits of being in the mode of goodness. It's illuminating. He doesn't want to go back to the mode of passion or regress to the mode of ignorance. Even though there may be some tendency like that or bad association, careful to keep himself always in the mode of goodness. So one who comes to the stage of Shuddhasattva, with the mercy of the Holy Name, experiencing how nice it is to be in Krishna consciousness, even the initial stages of Krishna consciousness, he doesn't want to revert to his old habits, his old conditioning. Therefore, he's very careful to chant, to follow the regulative principles, to keep good association with devotees, to participate in the temple activities, to behold the divine form, Radha and Krishna. Very careful to protect that clean condition. So yes, this chanting Hare Krishna is establishing religious principles. Prabhupada said, before my students came, they were dirty, downtrodden, confused, poorly dressed, but now they look just like they've come from Vaikuntha. They look just like they've come from Vaikuntha. Kunti Mala, Dhoti, Sari, Shaved Head, let's see, Council of Community. Nicely, good hair. Like this. This is refreshing. And people will note that. How nice the devotees are dressed. The day, where were we born? We were visiting. We were visiting some household in Seattle, and even the little children were dressed so nicely. Remember that? There was a little girl? Just a little pucker dress. And her mother, I was there for 3 or 4 days. This is a kid. Yeah, but you know, somebody just throw the shoes on, get the kid dressed and play outside. That child was dressed like a pucker Vaishnavi everywhere she went. A little Punjabi, and she had her bindi on, her kunti mala, and her hair tied back. And although she was out playing, and I started going to school, she was dressed very nicely. And then we should dress very nicely, representing the highest culture. And Prabhupada was always very nicely dressed. If I just close my eyes, I so many Geneva, and London, and Paris, and New York, and Detroit, and Chicago, everything, I remember Prabhupada always dressed impeccably. Like a perfect gentleman, Vaishnava. So this, we should also, it's very refreshing to see someone dressed as like a Vaishnava. Of course, we're householders, and not we are, you are. So you don't mind, you should dress like ladies and gentlemen also. Now they have the fashions. I saw one boy yesterday who was going to say, he had those big shorts on. They were like Jeff Hannon. He said, are those your dad's? They might, you don't know what's cool or not? I mean, is this the way the kids dress these days? And then truthfulness. I mean, it's truthfulness. When we come to Krishna consciousness, we're only speaking the truth. We're speaking the absolute truth. Raghunath Das Goswami, and he was instructed by Lord Chaitanya not to hear the talk of materialistic people, not to repeat what they hear, what they're saying. This is one of the instructions we receive from Lord Chaitanya. We should always be speaking. Of course, we can speak about topical subjects because we don't have to be naive or ignorant of what's happening, but there's a line you don't want to cross. And for preaching, we can, but our main subject matter should be Krishna consciousness. So we have enough to speak about, but we don't have to speak about other things. One time, newspaper reporter came to meet Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati in Navarre, and he
he heard how Bhakti Sadhana Saraswati Thakur was going to start a newspaper, I believe it was a daily newspaper, if not a weekly, about Krishna consciousness. So that the newspaper reporter was like flabbergasted. That's an old English word. Flabbergasted. How you can have enough information to print a newspaper every day about Krishna consciousness? Like, what's there to talk about that? Here in Calcutta, Kolkata, we have, you know, there's so many crimes going on, so many politics in Bengal, so much international news. We pick and choose our stories. What are you going to write about every day about spiritual life? Bhakti Sadhana Saraswati, you didn't challenge him. He was brilliant. Genius in spiritual life. He always had the right answer. So he said, well, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that this material world is one quarter of his creation, and his spiritual creation is three quarters. You're the one that has to struggle for things to write about. We've got unlimited things to speak about. So when we come together, like Bhagavad says in Bhagavad Gita and Purport, he said when sannyasis come together, they naturally speak about Krishna. Because they're renouncement of life. Renouncement of life, they got no business speaking about mundane things. Again, that was Mahaprabhu's instruction. That's just one of his instructions. So we're always speaking the truth. And again, like I said earlier, there's so many ways you can take one verse and you can have, like now in Mayapur, they're on the chapter about Lord Varaha's delivering the earth planet and his fight with Hiranyaksha. That's the verses they're studying during the GBC sessions and during the Mayapur festival. So the verses are all very similar. I've been listening to the classes of different Gurus, Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj and Dhananjay Maharaj gave a class recently, and so many, Shivaram Maharaj. And the verses are all very similar, but each of those exalted souls is taking that verse and giving a fresh analysis on a different angle, and giving different stories and antidotes, and it's also very interesting. They can go on and on and on. We hear how Bhakti Sadhana Saraswati Thakur, he lectured from the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam for 3 months in Dhaka, now Bangladesh. That Dhaka, once Bhakti Sadhana Saraswati Thakur said that Dhaka was the second Vrindavan. I couldn't figure that out. I was there a year and a half ago. I was second Vrindavan. Of course, now it's Muslim countries. But previously there were thousands of temples in Dhaka, because that part of what was previously India was rich with our Vaishnava heritage. Raghunath Mishra's ancestral family was there, Kunari Vidyanidhi appeared there, Amitabh Thakur appeared there, and Amitabh Thakur did his bhajan. It's all rich. It's historically unfortunate now that it's not open to our Vaishnava community to go and do pilgrimages. Just across the river. So when I went to Dhaka, that same temple that he spoke that 3 months lecture is there, and the same seat is there, the same place of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. So when I went there with one of my disciples, we sat at that place and we read that verse, the first verse of the Bhagavatam. And that long purport, we read it over and over for a couple hours, just there, chanting. Just to kind of relish that historic importance of that play. So, my point is that we have no dearth of things to speak about in Krishna. So, truth and mercy. Before we thought mercy was like, you know, giving food to the poor, and giving clothing to the fortunate, and that, you know, my parents were fairly well to do, and I remember them talking about which charity they should give to. But Prabhupada described this type of material welfare as like blowing on the boil. It just relieves the pain a little bit.
People are suffering because of their sinful activities, so better is to teach them how not to live a sinful life, how to live a Krishna conscious life, free from sin, pure life. This is real mercy. So this chanting has brought us to the stage of giving. We received mercy, and now we're giving mercy. In austerity, yes, we're practicing severe austerities, very severe austerities. We've given up eating corpses, sorry, dead bodies, and we're enjoying Majumali's deliciousness. Oh my God. Chanakyapana says, you shouldn't, intelligent logic means you can only give up something if you get something better. We've given up unmentionable foodstuff, not only for the better, but for the very best here in Dallas. I can say that the feast yesterday, I was eating the feast because I was a little ill, so I went back, and they brought the feast, and I said, geez, I just wish the devotees could have this prasad. And they said, no, this is the public feast. My God, this is a public feast? Wow. Very fortunate, so I do see some big men around here. And I also put on a couple of kilos and said, going on the firewater fest tomorrow, which I usually do at Gurdjieff's when it's in June. No, I like that facade. So, yes, we have the holy names. I have reestablished religious principles. Therefore, the conclusion, yes, they are acting as incarnation, therefore. But they're doing even more. And just as we developed that theme yesterday, how Lord Chaitanya not only delivered devotees and established the distorted demonic mentality and reestablished the principles, he gave love of God. So that we discussed how these holy names are awakening that love of God. So wonderful. More. We have a saying in the military, above and beyond the call of duty. Those are the heroes. The heroes are the soldiers who do above and beyond the call of duty. That's no small thing, because when you're in war, it's a very difficult situation. Basically, you talk to any boy coming back from Iraq, basically they're just trying to keep alive out there and protect their buddies. Because when you get in a firefight, it's not you can follow the manual, it's just all hell breaks loose. War is a horrible thing. So, if someone goes and does something above and beyond the call of duty, if you can go out and rescue someone who's been shot and risk his own life, and then, you know, he gets a medal. So you can say this incarnation of Lord Chaitanya, above and beyond the call of duty. What is the duty of an incarnation? Rescue the devotees. Destroy the demoniac, reestablish the principles of religion. Mahaprabhu did that. And besides that, he gave us love of God. This is a real treasure. Usually a treasure is just a few people get to enjoy the treasure. A few months ago, they found a Spanish galleon, which was sunk off the coast of England. There was a rumor for centuries that was there. By modern scientific proof, they found that treasure. And the government says that the treasure hunters, they get, I think, 60%, and the government gets 40%. But, you know, no one comes out poor with billions of dollars of gold coins. Everyone dreams, I wish I found that treasure. But what is a real treasure?
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
That gold doesn't destroy the sinful reactions in their heart, uproot the material desire. It doesn't bring tears to the eyes, some kind of tears, but not tears of ecstasy. Not darshan with the beautiful divine couple, not the opportunity to mention some service No. This is the real treasure. Deep within our hearts, but covered by lust, anger, and greed, but chant, 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 it all goes away. And then you can retrieve that treasure. Evam pratashva priya namakirtya jatandarago durtachit uchai. By chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord, one comes to the stage of Mahaprabhu. Then the devotee is fixed in his vow as an eternal servant of the Lord, and he gradually becomes very much attached to a particular name and form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As his heart melts with ecstatic love, he laughs very loudly, or cries and shouts. Sometimes he sings and dances like a madman, for he's indifferent to public opinion. So therefore, this incarnation of Lord Chaitanya and his introducing this chanting, this is something that no other avatar has done. And some of our acharyas are so devoted to Lord Chaitanya, they're just exclusive Gaura Bhaktas. Like Prabodhananda Saraswati. He's like a transcendental fanatic. He's just so attached to Lord Chaitanya. He said to in his Chaitanya Charitamrita, what benefit did the world attain when Lord Ram, Lord Nrisimha, and many other incarnations of Godhead killed so many Rakshasas and died to demons? Just understand his mood. How important is it really that Lord Kapila and other incarnations reveal the paths of Samkhya Yoga? How glorious is it that Lord Brahma and other Guna avatars create, maintain, and destroy the material universes? How auspicious is it that Lord Varaha lifted the earth in the Bhagavad Ocean? We do not consider any of these activities to be very important. The most important thing is that Lord Chaitanya has revealed the great splendor of pure love of Krishna. Let us glorify that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not that we consider the other things insignificant, but in comparison to what Gauranga Mahaprabhu has done, and each of us can experience that, and what is going to be done, he's the most magnificent. Chanting is our life, is our soul, is our real desires, is our spiritual desires. Therefore, Rupa Goswami concludes in his Kavyavali, he prays, now that we have become your devotees, your holy names are affectionately created, your jubilant festival in our mouths. Your bodily splendor, like a dark rain cloud, has become the black raiment of our eyes, and the music of your flute has become the ornament of our ears. O Lord, we no longer take pleasure in material desires. Just see the formula. We no longer take pleasure in material desires as a result of sweet kirtan of your holy name. O Lord, material desires no longer appear beautiful to us. Shri Chaitanya Charitam Mitra Ki Jai, Kaviraj Goswami Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, O Praying God, Hariam Sankirtan Ki Jai, Shinam Prabhu Ki Jai, Hare Krishna Mahaprabhu. Shila Prabhupada ki jai. Before you all go, just one last note. We opened up on this note when we first came. We do have these diaries. They're nothing much, but with that you can travel the world. Most of you don't have that opportunity. You're grounded. To say you're grounded. You have your responsible families and responsibility of your families and homes. It's a very beautiful community, but it's really nice to know what's going on around the world. And therefore, Prabhupada very much approved when one of his disciples started what was called the Sankirtan Newsletter. I think it's been revived recently. But in the heyday, I remember I just loved to read, because I was doing Sankirtan book distribution. I used to love to read about book distribution in other parts of the world, especially the Sankirtan stories, like that. So what we try to do in writing this diary is share with the devotee community the miracles that are taking place as a result of this holy name being spread all over the world.
What is a miracle? A miracle means something that contradicts the laws of nature, essentially. So by divine intervention. So by divine intervention, the laws of nature are being contradicted by the fact that people are, due to sinful activities, they're supposed to stay here for a long time. They're all being delivered by what you're telling them and chanting to your Prabhupada. These little stories are unique in and of itself. And we get to travel, we get to see that, and we like to write, and we like to serve the devotees by bringing these stories to you. So we keep the diary, and of course it comes out on the internet, but it's better to read a book. You know, it's the internet. I have all Prabhupada's books on the internet, on my folio, and I have a... nothing like, you know, taking the book itself. It's just, I don't know, it's just taking the book in hand and reading is better than on the computer screen. So, and for posterity, and to help little old me in our efforts to serve the Sankirtan mission in the various ways that we're doing. We've published this year's volume, number 8, about 20 chapters, and there's some pictures there. You can get it, you can read it. Hopefully it will inspire you. And it will also help our preaching. And Torchlight Publications have come up with this brilliant idea that for a special limited time offer, you can get the past five volumes. If you missed out, there's five volumes as a set. You can get the complete set if you missed out. And there's a bonus CD, something I sang somewhere before. So you can get all that. You just take this paper, this paper, and you can fill it out and send in your donation. And you get the five past diaries plus the CD. I think it's the Pratikamalam CD. That will be mailed to you. So Guru Maharaj Prabhu will be standing here with this special offer. Five volumes from the past, and keep your set. And be kind, be merciful, help us out. We sell them for $20, not a lot, because it costs you to get 11 or 12 back to the publisher, and there's the shipping cost and everything. So take as many as you can. And we'll sit here for a little while, and if you'd like to take one this evening, then we'll sign the book for you. And if you give a check, then you can make it out to Friends Forever. That's our tax-free facility. You can take it off your taxes. Yes, so. Anyway, I'm leaving tomorrow morning for Houston. And I wanted to thank all of you once again for your wonderful association. I really enjoyed myself here in your association, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak a little bit with all of you. I'll leave with very nice memories of our kirtans and our talks, and I will definitely remember them as all. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.